allora vedremo di questi di qua c'è anzi che la denezza da di qua ti puoi c'è ancora c'è qua da anzi che ti puoi c'è di c'è qua c'è c'è qua da di qua ma c'è c'è di qua c'è.
Today we started to look at the purification of negativities. And this is a practice of great importance. So this is what we're going to start to look at today, and we'll continue over half a dozen sessions or so. I'm going to cover this topic of the purification of negativities through four outlines. So the first of these will be to discuss why we actually need to purify negativities. What is the purpose of this topic? What is the purpose of coming to understand this and then engaging in such a practice? So the first outline is to discuss the need to purify negativities. And then the second outline will be that looking at this wish we all have to experience only happiness and be completely freed of all forms of suffering, no matter how slight, that the very root of the achievement of happiness, or the very root of happiness as well as suffering, both are to be found within our mind. So this will be the second outline, that the very root of our longed for happiness and the suffering that we long to be freed from is to be found within our mind. Then the third outline, this then is to look at negativities themselves. What is the entity of negativities? What are negativities? As well as where they are to be found. So the third point has these two sub-points: the entity of negativities or non-virtue, what exactly is meant by non-virtue, and then secondly, along with this, where negativities or non-virtue is to be found. And then thirdly, we come to the actual confession of negativities, how to engage in the confession of negativities. So sorry, that's the fourth point. So these are the four outlines that we'll be addressing. Look, starting then with the first outline, that of the need to purify negativities. And in brief, this is because we don't want to suffer. None of us want to experience any pain or difficulty at all. Rather, we want to experience only happiness. So in order to fulfill this deep-held desire to experience only happiness, we need to eliminate suffering. Therefore, we need to purify negativities.
Then
It's of great importance that one understands at a deep level the need to purify negativities, and that is because that is how we become freed of suffering. So this, it should not just be understood at a mere intellectual level, because that's easy to understand, but to transform us, to transform our way of thinking, to transform our endeavors, we need to understand this on a deep level, because that is what will lead to an inner transformation.
As has been
briefly mentioned, the reason to eliminate our negativities or our non-virtue is because we don't want to suffer. We want to experience only happiness. So then, what is the source of our suffering? Where does our suffering come from? And what is the source, or where does our happiness come from? Well, there are only two sources. One being our physical aggregates, and the second being our mental aggregates. So the sources of our suffering are our body and our minds. And similarly, with happiness, the source of our happiness will be our physical aggregates or our body. And secondly, our inner world, our minds, our mental aggregates. Other than these two, there are no other sources of either happiness or suffering. It's only our physical body or our inner world, our minds, our way of thinking. These are the sources of both happiness and suffering.
Dunga garis yungu ore labna dunga zuliya ane chike chaba dang caiwe dunga laima chaba dunga caiwe dunga jili korwa ane ya chike rodobe jebe gombe dunga dang ane gombe ke ka gombe dunga rodobe dunga ane lula naza jambengi tohne ane dunga di yungu ore tezo lula dinda yungu ore lula dinda yungu ore chikse
Looking first then at the physical source of suffering, or our body. So what are our experiences then of suffering that comes about from the source of our body? Well, this would be, for example, when we're cold, when we're hungry, or we're ill. So these are forms of suffering that come about independence on our physical aggregate, independence on our body. And then in terms of our mental source, our mental aggregates. So this would be when we experience mental unhappiness, whether our mind is stirred up by attachments or by anger, for example. So these would be illustrations of the sources of suffering being either physical or mental. And the converse is also the case for happiness, for the sources of happiness, being physical or mental. Our body, our physical aggregate, this is comprised of the four elements. And when these four elements are not in perfect harmony, then we experience physical suffering. So this is how our experience of physical suffering comes about. It's when these four elements are not complete or not in harmony. So for example, when the weather is really hot, the sun is burning down, then this has an impact on our fire element. Our fire element then is inflamed, and we experience tremendous physical heat and resulting suffering. And similarly, when it's the weather is very cold, then our water element is not in harmony, and thereby we experience physical suffering. Now, physical suffering then comes from when these four elements are not in harmony.
And in the Dang Lulatim Dunga Dungade Lulatim Dunga Yoba in the Masili Seg Tafita Maobana Di Dunga de Mayang Wango Chedo, Nanzuki Jigdin Biggie, that Jawa Chasan Druid Di Donald Tubor, Nanzu Chigdin by Nada Chasan Chig Legalea, Chig Zemotia, Kare Chevin, a Tunjun Druid, Karchigina, Majele, Nanzuki, Nada Subul and Nazaru Chibin. メジュチェアダン、アンジグルジェギトネ、アンミャバスヤ、モモチェ、ミャバスヤ、アンモーバナダ、ジェネギドゥマ、チャビドゥマ、マライゲトンダレヤ、アンジドゥロコヤダ、アンディ、モーバナ、ドゥロジェネコブレセンビギドゥロニョヤギ、トゥニンドゥビア、アンダナジュギチェビドゥマディ、セヤゲトンダレヤ、アンディ、カラセヤダ、モーバナディネチェビドゥマギ、ゴヘゲトンダレ、ディネガルカラセギ、トゥニンドゥジェチェア、アンディネギディナシー、ダンジュギ、
So in order to keep our elements in harmony and avert physical suffering, there are a wide number of methods and techniques available in our world. So these are widely known, and it's what we engage in so many of our activities, such as going to work and our other activities, because we know that to ensure that we are not overcome by the cold, we need to have adequate clothing, adequate housing, and similarly to gain protection from the blazing summer sun. We also need to have suitable clothing and a suitable abode, a suitable home. And similarly, in order to have good health, as well as to overcome the suffering of hunger, we need to have a nutritious diet, and a sufficiently nutritious diet. We know what these solutions are to avert such kinds of suffering, and we, in dependence on this knowledge, we make preparations and plans, we engage, we have an income, so that we can avert to the best of our ability, these kinds of physical sufferings or sufferings that arise independent on our body. So there are many techniques to successfully do this in the world. In society, then, there are a wide variety of techniques that one employs in order to overcome physical suffering. And amongst this wide variety, some are more effective than others. But here a key point to make is that everything that we engage in, physically, verbally, mentally, is done so as to fulfill this desire of ours to be freed of suffering and to experience happiness. The work we do, the activities we engage in, even the conflict we have with others, this all comes about through the motivation of wanting to be freed of problems and difficulties, wanting to experience only happiness. And in order to fulfill this for themselves and others, then there are many skilled people in this world, from the side of science and researchers, as well as those who enact the research, engineers and the like, as well as all others in other forms of employment, who come up with fantastic solutions to bring about an end to physical suffering. So there's a wide variety of techniques in the world to do so. All of them are employed with the desire for oneself, as well as to an extent for others, to overcome problems and difficulties and experience happiness. And thereby, everything that we do, whether it's our physical activities, verbal or way of thinking, are geared to achieving this. However, despite the great successes, there were the many successes that have been achieved, suffering that arises in dependence on the physical basis can only be temporarily overcome. Nothing that the great skilled scientists and researchers and engineers have come up with have been able or are able to completely overcome suffering that arises from a physical source. But on a temporary level, many skilled and successful techniques, but none of them are able to completely eradicate physical suffering. And we, certainly when you're younger, but throughout our lives, we learn how to overcome our problems, especially those arising on the physical basis, from initially our parents, but then our parents as well as our teachers and our friends and throughout society. We learn the various techniques based on their knowledge, their experience, and then our own knowledge and experience, how to overcome a suffering that arises primarily from a physical basis.
Set up the Nishigore, Sadi, Nangazuki, Chisola, Chicago, Maradi, Lago Mare, Dagawa Lagoras, and then Chugin Yaman, Chucho Tone, and Shave Nangazu, and Ditone, and Nabasangi by Nazo, that Dunga Sadilla, similar thing because Dunga Sadi, Zorus, Chi, Chi, Jungle, Timbu, Dunga Setada, Nasim Ginane, Dunga Setan, Zor, and Juga, Nabasangi Beach. chue nyamne chigan tu chue shi tang shi yang du to khar si gu chue chue lab na ma le na nama san yu chue shi gu lab du kanji nama semba dimbi dunga se de dunga se gu de lu da sem ni ka le dimbi dunga se gu gu din na ne kya to semba dimbi dunga di se gu re se di se ta di ma shi gu ruwa
Earlier I mentioned that there are two sources of suffering, one being physical, and now let's look at the second, the mental source of our suffering. So in society, it's a physical source where almost all energy is placed, as in both in terms of research as well as activities by society as a whole. And these days there certainly is some attention given to the mental source of suffering. But this remains very limited, and the techniques sometimes bring some temporary happiness, but there's great limitation there. There's a Buddha Dharma that primarily focuses on the mental source of suffering, and it's the Buddha Dharma alone that brings about solutions that can lead to a complete eradication of all suffering arising from the mental source or mental sources. But the Buddha Dharma does not only lead to a complete eradication of suffering that arises from mental sources, it also leads to a complete eradication of suffering that arises from the physical source, from our physical aggregate. So therefore, it's only the Buddha Dharma that presents solutions that brings a complete cessation of all suffering, whether arising from the physical source, our body, our physical aggregates, or the mental source, our mental aggregates, our ways of thinking, our minds.
Lule tibi dunga seyege tablam chigi tablam digi mazi simla tibi dunga di la mewa suy tuga wa maare, mewa suy matuga maze digi genche ne simla tibi dunga di shukche elegi chahtu gore.
It's important, I think, to acknowledge that society has come up with a very wide range of quite amazing solutions to our physical needs, to avert physical suffering. And for this reason, people engage in the kinds of employment that we do, and we enjoy all that technology in its varying aspects has brought to the world, and we enjoy or experience the easing of suffering that arises from a physical basis. But in addition to mentioning that these do exist in the world, it needs to be mentioned too that these only present temporary solutions to suffering that arises from the physical source. And not only are they only temporary solutions, they don't aid our mental suffering at all. They don't ease our mental suffering. In fact, they may even exacerbate our mental suffering. And the clearest way to understand this is both through our own experience and what we observe in the world. And what we observe is that someone, no matter how healthy they are, no matter how wealthy or influential they are, whilst due to their health, their wealth, and their power and influence, they may be freed from most forms of suffering that arises from a physical basis, there's certainly no certainty that their mental suffering is even slightly eased, let alone eradicated. In fact, there's a very real possibility, a great likelihood, that due to having so much in terms of health, wealth, power, and influence, that they may experience ever greater mental suffering, always expecting perhaps to be treated as if they are someone special, someone extraordinary, and suffering when that's not received, or others receive more than they feel they should get. Fear of losing what they have, as well as many other forms of additional mental suffering that they experience due to having an abundance of good aspects such as health, wealth, power, and influence. So this is an important point to be aware of. Moreover, between these two, physical and mental suffering, whilst we want to be free of both, and the Buddha Dharma presents the path to be free of both, what should be emphasized is of the two, the one that actually causes more pain and more misery is mental suffering. And this is important to gain clarity on, because so much of our energy goes into overcoming physical suffering, but it's mental suffering that causes far deeper pain and anguish. For example, if someone is experiencing great mental suffering, such as fear or some other form of mental suffering, they will not be aware of their physical suffering. Their mental suffering will dominate them to the extent that they will not even be aware of physical suffering. They may have some pain in a physical pain in their legs or their arm, but they will not be aware of this because of the power of mental suffering, because of mental suffering having such a greater influence on us than physical suffering. This is an important point to gain great certainty of, that of the two, the body and the mind is has far greater influence, control, impact on us. And this has just been mentioned in terms of in the context of suffering. It's also the case in terms of happiness. Whatever physical happiness one achieves, doesn't have as nearly as powerful an impact on one as mental happiness does. So these two points, or these points that the impact that the mind has on oneself, whether mental suffering or mental happiness, and the impact that the body has on us, whether it's physical happiness, physical suffering, these are not similar. The impact the mind has is far greater than the impact the body has. So if our mind is disturbed, then no matter what good material conditions we have or our physical state, we will be suffering. If one is in good health, but one is mentally greatly unhappy, one is suffering. If one has wonderful material conditions, this doesn't necessarily lead to a happy mind. One may have great pride because of one's material conditions, even one's body. One may have jealousy towards others, attachment to what one has, attachment to what one doesn't have. So no matter how great our physical experience is, our mental experience, there is no guarantee that it will be one of happiness. And moreover, if one has trained one's mind well, and one's experiencing, and one has control over one's mind, and is experiencing mental happiness, physical hardships are not likely to overcome one. Physical hardships, whether it's related to our body or material conditions, are not likely to overcome one's mental approach. So here too we see the impact that mental happiness can have. It can overcome all forms of physical suffering.
Then lula timbi digi digi semla timbi ke kanga de dunga de se tu yo mares de ji she sa she ro da semla timbi digi digi lula timbi dunga de se tu go re me ba se tu go re pe ne se tu dang ga de tu go re la na ang ya semla chang do re che ting ye zhi gom ting ye zhi gom xin ye zhu de ne ting ye zhi gom gom yo de de ne ge ting ye zhi ge nu bi ge so su ge nu ba de tou yo de semla digi xi xu chen bu xu shai go re je da de ne ge ting ye zhi ge nu ba de le de ne an ne Taiwei Dunga Chile on the Nayan Jangi Kasore, Lung Gomje, and Yaji Lung Gombe Tone, and Gomje, Jangas, Taiwei Dunga, say two words.
When again, the Melong, the Lung Gomje, the Amato,
the thing is
Xinjiang Central, Xinjiang.
Chine, hopefully, Xinjiang Horoba. She said, She never thing is in Jubio, thing is in Jushine, Tokyo, anything is in the Niku Gomba, that Dene, Gangile, Chavi Dunga, Dang.
Cultivation of mental happiness can and does lead to an overcoming of physical suffering. So there are many layers of subtlety to this. But it comes down to the greater degree of control that one has over one's mental process, the greater one's skill will be in overcoming not only mental suffering thereby, but also physical suffering, or suffering that arises in dependence on our physical aggregate. And in particular, if one develops actual calm abiding, where one experiences the physical and mental bliss of pliancy. If one develops one's calm abiding one develops one's mental stabilization to the point of calm abiding being achieved, then one will be able to overcome the suffering, that the physical suffering, because in the cultivation of calm abiding, one gains some stability over one's elements, these physical elements, such as wind or energy. And thereby, one doesn't experience suffering from heat and from cold and from hunger and so forth. So this comes about through mental cultivation, And even if one does not develop calm abiding itself, but is developing one's mental stabilization ever stronger, one has more and more control over one's mental processes, one's mind, and thereby can overcome to ever greater degrees physical suffering. So this point is important, because this emphasizes brings clarity to how mental happiness leads to one to be able to overcome physical suffering as well as mental suffering. So to summarize what we've been looking at thus far, is that I hope that it's very clear the great primacy of mental development, because it's through mental development that we will be able to overcome both physical and mental suffering. So this is really an important point. When we spoke about the source of happiness and suffering, we mentioned there are two, physical and mental. So for both our happiness and our suffering, they both arise from our physical aggregate, independence on a physical aggregate, as well as a mental aggregate. But we've spoken about that for both happiness and suffering, amongst the two, the source that is physical and the source that is mental, it is the mental source, or our inner world, that is primary. If we are mentally suffering, this has a far greater impact on us than physical suffering. If we have mental happiness, this too has a far greater impact on us than physical happiness. Moreover, it's been mentioned, and I hope it's understood well, that through developing mental happiness, this overcomes not only mental suffering, the completely contrary aspect, but also physical suffering. And this is the crucial point that I hope I've brought across this thus far this morning, that it's through developing our way of thinking, developing mentally, that we can overcome both physical and mental suffering. We can overcome both of these through developing our way of thinking. And this is because the mind is more powerful than the body, as well as, and thereby can overcome all contrary situations, physical and mental. So this, and now the key point that comes from this, is when we spoke about our societal approach to achieving happiness and overcoming suffering, this was primarily focused on achieving physical happiness and overcoming physical suffering. And this is where, due to habituation, the vast majority of our endeavors go. Our physical, verbal, and thoughts are primarily to achieve physical happiness and overcome physical suffering. And whilst we do need to do this, that should not be ignored. We need to radically alter where we place our energy. And we need to radically alter this so that whilst maintaining the required level of physical happiness, we put our energy into developing mental happiness, mental stability, control over our minds, because that is how we can successfully eradicate both physical and mental suffering.
And missionary Sosulia and Junji Siki, Junji Shevene, Sosulia, same the Chanu Mara, same the Lulia Chamato, same the Dumali Mara, and it denies that do some tavena and denitin Udua, same be done on Zuki, a kind of canting Udu, so Simju share what in it in the some time. Then on Zuki, a shady and denitin the Yore Setco, a shadelia, a dish to say, Yichi. Each year, he much ever cheer, a linilla, that can a yina, the shield, the Tata can never seem so, that delia, she usually gets much about it.
The way to receive teachings on the Buddha Dharma is to listen with attention, hearing what's being said, but not only that. To hear and use your intelligence, not just attention, but intelligence. So here what I ask of you with this teaching and every single Buddhist teaching you receive is hear the words, understand the meaning, and use your intelligence to see whether this is correct or not. Never accept a teaching blindly just because of who says it or the context that it's given. I'm a Buddhist, therefore I accept this. Use your intelligence. See whether this is true or not. Investigate for yourself whether what has been said is true or not. If you don't see it as true, it's perfectly all right. Then you just put it to one side and say, this doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't work for me, maybe one day it will, but for now, it doesn't. And that is perfectly all right. And if it does make sense to you, then you need to think ever further and adopt it, cultivate it within yourself. This is how to listen to all teachings, including this teaching. Because the purpose of the Buddha Dharma is to develop your mind, develop your wisdom, your love, your compassion, all these good qualities. And this comes through using your intelligence. So this is my heartfelt request to you. Receive this and all teachings in this way. So take what has been said here today and see if it's true from your own experience, for you yourself, as well as what you've observed in the world. And think of times when your mind has been open and spacious, when you are in a light mood, a delightful mood, and then you've encountered difficulties. And see how differently you experience those difficulties than from when life's problems had overcome you, when it seemed to be just pouring down problems and difficulties, and every new one encountered was overwhelming. The problem from the outer world can be the same, but in terms of how we experience it, completely different, depending on whether we're experiencing mental happiness or mental suffering at the time. Similarly, think of yourself and others who have great physical and material conditions that others would consider enviable or desirable, perhaps health, good looks, wealth, and respect and a good name in society. Whilst those who have such good conditions, and perhaps yourselves too, we know that that alone does not lead to happiness, no matter how great, how good-looking one is, how perfect one's health is, and long-standing one's health is, how good one's reputation is, and how wealthy one is. We know that doesn't lead to happiness either. So take what's being presented. Think about the meaning. If it doesn't work for you, fine, put it to one side. You've used your intelligence. It's good. But if it does work for you, if it does make sense to you, cultivate this. Apply it to yourself and use it to transform yourself. Another illustration to make this point is that if we are in society of no one of much importance, we can move through society quite invisibly. We can largely go where we want, and we can largely, within the confines of social norms, do what we want. Wherever we go, we tend to be quite invisible, and thereby we experience freedom. Our mind is potentially open and spacious. Whereas if we think of those in the world who are famous, those who many long to emulate, who wish they were just like these famous people, whether they are famous in the world of entertainment or sport or the titans of industry, they lack this freedom. They've lost that freedom. They can't move through society in the way that we can. Where when we go somewhere, we are invisible. They are not. Everyone stares at them. Their every move, their every word, their every tweet is listened to, is paid attention to, is interpreted in a variety of ways, and that brings great mental pressure and loss of mental freedom. They're always having to be concerned of how they perceive, how their physical movements, how they physically look, what they say, what they write, everything in a way that we do not. Moreover, they carry tremendous burden of worrying about their physical safety as well as the safety of their loved ones. Hence, they need to employ security, take great steps to ensure that they are not going to be abducted or experience other physical harm. Such worries for us are far, far, far smaller. So here we can see people who have achieved great things in the world and are often looked at with longing, people wanting to emulate them, be just like them, have what they have. We can see from this mere physical attainment, this material attainment, happiness is not achieved. There are those in our spiritual world who, on an outer level, are in a similar position. The great lamas in this world and also other spiritual traditions, when they move in society, they are also observed. They are also watched. Everything they say and do is closely observed. They also may have to move with bodyguards. But this is a very different experience for the individual because of their mental development. They don't experience suffering. They don't experience themselves as being imprisoned by their fame and their reputation and what they've achieved, because what they have achieved is mental freedom. So for great lamas, it's a very different experience.
Mm-hmm. 안지 직뉴그도 니그도 선 메바 수연의 메바 수사야 말아 스페니 미치기 말이야 미디기 뉴그도 말이야 가부 지금은 미디 바 메바 선 야 신다 실리기 됐 야 마 메바 수 메바 수가네 가슴 지레 미차산 담리 미차산 메바 수수네 안 소소 지불 하되네 되는 지우셔야 마 제가 되는 게 전에 아주 치료 뉴바 용고 선에 미 신다 말이야 자 직뉴그도 선 파 직수 이선 직수에나 메바 선 야자 실리기 되 지금 야 사야요 말아 Dinajin, and also Sajilia, Jigay Tama, the Dinichi, Di Padro, the Nugus, Mavason, Mavaso, Taya Maras. Is that Dinita, Chick Mavason, and Jigung, Chick Mavason, Chigu Taskaya Maras. Dile, and another ya, Pazum, and Benchilo, Dinena, Gangba Yakuja, Hango Yakuchi, Gangba Chili, Tia, Hango Yakuchi, you were to Gunshevan, Dekawa Droshevene, Susuke, Gangba Ya, Chick Tamason, Nazdayagi. 강하시오 말. 그래서 강벌로 순교 약고 차려 거려. 제가 치료기 체마디에 매가 쓰고 말에 소수의 강벌이야 한고 약고 싶고에 되는 바 체마가 강아 가와 강벌도 전에 강벌 누구 말했어. 어 디나시 현기 누구 누구 세도 소수기 현 매가 쓰나 매가 쓰 차요 말. 내가 매가 쓰 차요 말. 딜레 소수기 삼만 나냐 잠재 삼당 쇠보공 되는 게 쇠바단 잠재기 냠네 약고 쇠보네 미치료기 가를 남나 가나 뇌에서 말 소소 기 기운 거 그래서 강아 책 말했어. 제가 되네 인자 아 저기 셈이 에 돈에 아주 잠재 거면 냠는 제야다. 제비 냠는 제야데. 뱀마스 기침 물에서 해야데. 어두스네 에 계속 지원을 신비되는 소요래.
The great Bodhisattva Shantideva. He made this point so eloquently in his Bodhisattva's way of life. In a particular verse, he commented that if the world is the world being covered in thorns, no matter how much one sweeps, one will not be freed of a world full of thorns. But if one rather puts down the broom and puts on a pair of good shoes, one is free to go wherever one wants and will experience no harm. And this, there's great meaning to this, because no matter what we try to do in terms of taking control of manipulating, trying to change our external world, we will not, through that method alone, be able to experience happiness, achieve happiness. We often look to other people as being the source of our suffering and our problems. But no matter how many people we eradicate from our life, or no matter how many new places we move to, there will always be those who criticize us, who see fault in us, who look down on us, who are rude to us and abuse us. And similarly, in terms of our material needs, no matter what we achieve in terms of material needs, we will remain unfulfilled, we will remain longing for more. Happiness cannot be achieved through trying to alter, to change, to manipulate those people around us or our material situation. Whereas rather, if we take control of our inner world, which in the analogy is likened to just putting on a pair of shoes, if we take control of our inner world, we will not experience harm no matter who we encounter or what material conditions we have. So therefore, the trainings that Shantideva and all other great masters emphasized, the needs to cultivate love, compassion, patience, wisdom realizing emptiness, these are of unparalleled importance. It's through developing love, compassion, patience, and wisdom that we can overcome all hardships. We will not experience harm no matter whom we meet, no matter what they say or do towards us, or whatever our material conditions are. We will only know happiness. So this is an important, this adds to the points that have been made thus far. We need to turn our attention to the inner world, the cultivation of our inner world. All the skills that you have as individuals have been developed in dependence on relying on those who have the knowledge and skills and can impart that to you. And thereby, through making effort from your side, you have acquired a wide variety of skills. And it's the same here. Here we too need a knowledgeable and skilled teacher who can guide us in our inner development, our inner transformation. But merely having a skilled teacher is insufficient. We need to also make the required effort from our side, Otherwise, we will never cultivate that desired skill. So here in the world of the Buddha Dharma, the skill teacher we look towards is Buddha Shakyamuni. Buddha Shakyamuni taught how to achieve happiness and how to overcome all forms of suffering. And he taught solely the techniques of mental development. Buddha Shakyamuni did not focus on engineering and science, but he looked at the inner world. He focused on inner development, inner transformation. He taught clearly what needs to be adopted and what needs to be abandoned. In other words, what minds need to be adopted because they lead to happiness. What minds need to be abandoned, or ways of thinking need to be abandoned because they only lead to suffering. So Buddha Shakyamuni, he emphasized that we need to change our way of thinking. We need to change our mind, our way of thinking. This is the path to happiness. This is how to eliminate suffering. When we say we are Buddhists, when we say we are practitioners, when we say we are practitioners of the Buddha Dharma, when we say we are practicing, what this means is we are changing our way of thinking. This is what Buddhist practice means. It means changing our way of thinking. Changing our way of thinking means we change the way that we relate to others. We change the way we relate to people. We change the way we relate to our material world. And we change the way we relate to our inner world. To develop a new way of thinking comes about independence, hearing teachings and reflecting and meditating on these teachings and doing so repeatedly over a sustained period. This is the technique. This alone is the technique. Hearing teachings, reflecting and meditating on them repeatedly over a sustained period. And this was taught solely by Buddha Shakyamuni, and his emphasis was primarily on the inner world, on the transformation of our way of thinking. So this is what we need to do. This is practicing Buddha Dharma.
Tablam, dini dini chihore, saji, sumba diya, ane jige, dangarang duru wishina, shanda depshi loo che, dangarang jige, depshi loo, shanda che, sheshe, depshi loo, loo chong che, din maa shea che yorwa. Na sanyu jimna diki sungyo di dini reyo maare. Nangbo ne, sanyu jimna khurongi, pa shimju che, ane nyamyong sa, nyamyong to ne sa che, ane dini che gom jeb, dini ki gom che,
Buddha Shakyamuni primarily taught how to change our minds, how to change our way of thinking. And he employed a particular method to do so. So in the world, ourselves, we will read a book, we'll gain some knowledge, and based on this knowledge, we will share it with others, we will teach. This is not the technique that Buddha Shakyamuni took, and therefore it's not the technique for us either. Buddha Shakyamuni didn't rely on the mere accumulation of knowledge, but in dependence on the accumulation of knowledge, he investigated that knowledge. He investigated, he analyzed, he meditated. And through this process of contemplation and reflection, meditation, he gained transformative experience of that knowledge. And therefore, that knowledge was no longer intellectual, but was innate or intuitive to him. So gaining experience of teachings is crucial. This cannot be emphasized enough. Merely hearing is insufficient. Merely reading is insufficient. Whilst they must be done, whilst we're hearing, right now, whilst you are hearing this, you need to be engaging in the process of analysis and investigation, thinking about the meaning, its relevance to your life, or not. Investigating now, and then also afterwards, meditating, reflecting on these teachings. This is how experience is gained. You're going through this process repeatedly over a sustained period, developing stronger habituation to virtuous minds, weakening their habituation to non-virtuous minds. And then, in dependence on the experience that you gain, you will know with clarity, not just from books, not just from the words of others, but from your own experience, that it's independence on these causes suffering comes. It's independence on these causes happiness comes. Therefore, these are the techniques that I've successfully employed to eradicate suffering. These are the techniques I've successfully employed to experience happiness. And then one is ready to share your knowledge and your experience with others. Because if one only has knowledge, when sharing that, one is likely to make mistakes. But if your experience has come about in dependence on knowledge, then you have a suitable basis to be able to skillfully guide others. So this is how Buddha Shakyamuni has practiced himself, and we too need to do the same.
If we have a wish to be of benefit to others, and we engage in activities to do so, we know that we don't always achieve the result that we long for.
So for example, if we want to offer a meal to many people, we have a good wish. We want to give them something delicious and make an offering that will bring joy and delight to them. The problem we have is that not everyone has the same palate. Some people like this kind of food, some like that kind of food, some prefer a lot of salt, some really don't like salt, some say if there's no chili, it has no taste, others say if it has chili, they can taste nothing. And some, of course, then also eat a lot, some eat very little. We know from trying to bring happiness to others in this way, that it's kind of difficult to really get it right. And similarly, a medical practitioner who wants to ease the suffering of others, who wants to ease their heal them from sickness, they know there's not only one magic pill that will heal all illnesses. They have to be able to prescribe the specific medication for that specific ailment being experienced by that specific person. Medical practitioners also know, as well as do patients, it's difficult to get that right all the time. So the reason for us not being able to successfully fulfill the needs of others is because of our own limitations. We are not omniscient. We do not know the specific disposition and inclination of others. However, if we follow the example of the Buddha, we hear teachings, read texts, gather knowledge, and whilst doing so, reflect and meditate on this repeatedly over a sustained period, we will spiritually develop. We will gain experience of what we have knowledge over. And thereby, experience, or what is meant by experience, is inner transformation, changing our way of thinking. And a Buddha is a being that has perfected this. A Buddha, through perfecting all good qualities and completely eradicating all faults, has an omniscient consciousness and thereby is able to perfectly lead beings in accordance with the complexities of their karmic backgrounds and individual spiritual dispositions. And it's that for that reason that a Buddha and a Buddha alone is the most skilled of teachers.
Tablam yasho dinga zugi samlo nandia ane kom je sembe juwa tangje ane garsore digi chubya da dunga se di tablam yasho di chare yare dine yinza di nane nga zugi di jen nyamle juwa tangha di ta sanje chumne digi ma sunshebe di yi tele ya nga zugi tueba che di dunda de yane yano samtang Digi 되는 돌아 삼다에서 검제하고도 계침으로 샤스 지난 되는 인바이나 가지고 동화세하다 동화 자원님에 무슨 투야다 안 되기 되게 되기 죽투야디 최고레스 지난 되는나 아주 계침으로 드레스 당이 마사지기 소외지기 숨바디 너도 수스레스네 김선로 있다 도로지 디시고다
Start to summarize then what we've been looking at. Is that all of us only want to experience happiness. And everything we do, everything we say, and all our thoughts are geared to the fulfillment of this deep yearning for happiness. And the Buddha Dharma has presented the perfect technique for doing so. It's through our practice of the Buddha Dharma that we can eliminate all suffering and thereby achieve lasting, stable happiness. We've also spoken about what is meant then by Buddhist practice. What is meant by practicing the Buddha Dhamma? It means transforming our way of thinking, changing our minds. And it's been mentioned too, the technique for doing so. That technique then, two components. The first is to hear and reflect on what we're hearing, as well as meditate on what we're hearing. And the second is to do that first one repeatedly over a sustained period. Because to change our mind means weakening our non-virtuous, our habituation to non-virtuous ways of thinking. In other words, weakening our habituation to afflicted minds. And at the same time, strengthening our habituation to virtuous ways of thinking. Strengthening our habituation to minds such as love, compassion, patience, wisdom, and so forth. This is practicing Buddha Dhamma. This is what it means to be a practitioner of the Buddha Dhamma. When I've spoken now at the end of our session together about why the Buddha is the most perfect of guides, I've mentioned this again for a specific reason. Because it's through understanding that he has gone through this process himself, hearing, reflecting, meditating repeatedly over a sustained period, that he spiritually progressed to the point of perfection and thereby is now able to guide us with methods that are perfect for us to transform our way of thinking. All the knowledge is there and is imparted, and now it's dependent on us to make great endeavor. The greater our perseverance here, the greater the transformation will be. The more we hear and reflect and meditate on what we hear, and the more sustained we are in this, the more rapid our inner transformation will be, and the more stable that inner transformation will be.
To transform our way of thinking requires great effort over a sustained period. But what is holding us back from applying ourselves wholeheartedly and committing ourselves wholeheartedly is still the presence of doubt. Doubt about the validity of the Buddha Dhamma. It's that doubt or lack of certainty that leads us to merely accept what we've heard, but not wholeheartedly embrace it. And therefore, our endeavors remain a bit wishy-washy, a little bit sometimes stronger, sometimes weaker, sometimes not at all. We need to overcome this lack of certainty. And the method for doing this is primarily through hearing, reflecting, and meditating repeatedly over a sustained period, because it's experience based on knowledge that leads to this. Moreover, we turn our attention to the vast lineage of great beings, those such as the incomparable Pandits in India, who studied and reflected and meditated with great vigor and came to see the validity of the Buddha's path, to see that it is free of fault, and thereby transform themselves. Beings such as Nagarjuna, Aryadeva, Chandrakirti, Shantideva, Asanga, and so many others achieve paths of the Bodhisattvas and the Buddhas within themselves through this process that's being presented here. And not only those in the ancient India, but through the centuries, Tibet produced a vast number of amazing beings, all who achieved such exalted inner qualities through this process. So take confidence from this, that we have what is required to become great beings too, to have a powerful and lasting and meaningful impact on others. But that comes about in dependence on our application to this complete and unmistaken path.
All right, that is your wish, Kashiwara Snanganazuki, Tikwashako, Kimsen, the Azuki, Digi to Yada, Duma Sequati, Dikim Senti, Sashing of the Dushe, that the names are that Digi said, Duma Druegi, Duma said, and Digi Druegi, Talam Yashua, the other Sembajua Tai at the Semgi, Sembajua Tai with Tony, and Druedi Res, the end of Sanya German Digi, Lambda Nashava, the end of Delia, and the Dunya Chimbutani, Bishop Chen and Zuki, Sanyi. Lambden now, Tilian, to give Yamlache what the kitchen Borisha said. And then Donald Zoroshi, that didn't show a shed, eh? Then you won't belong to the shed, that didn't get Dewata, Duma Shed, so that's him, same to our similar to Goreset, similar to Sudi Gormashi. Dead in
England, Deyakar, dead in England.
You were your aunties at Dewa, Dewata, Duma Shed, Zawa, similar to Gore, similar to Sukanese, said Dikoshi, did she do any better one?
The start of our talk, I mentioned the four outlines that we will cover, and we've looked at the first now, which is the reason to overcome negativities, and that reason is to achieve lasting happiness, because this is done through eliminating all forms of suffering. Suffering comes from the negativities. And we also spoke today then, in this first session, about the very best technique to do this, to eliminate suffering and achieve happiness, is to transform our mind. That is the best technique. It's not through putting overly strong focus on the external. We need to shift that to the internal world. This is the primary source of suffering as well as happiness. And then thirdly, we looked at today that amongst the various guides, it's Buddha Shakyamuni who is supreme. It's only Buddha Shakyamuni who, as the lamp who illuminated the paths to lasting happiness, presented the complete and unmistaken techniques to doing so, the complete and unmistaken techniques to transform our minds. So we've looked then at the first of the four outlines, that of the reason to overcome negativities, and now in the next session, we'll look at that the source of all our long for happiness, as well as all our undesired suffering and obstacles, comes from within, comes from our mind. So thank you. We'll finish there then for now.